episode 255 of Fly Away. We're a group of agents from Outlander Travel who get together every week to talk about all things travel. Whether you've been listening for a while or are just tuning in, we're happy you found us. We truly believe that travel has the power to change the world, and we want to inspire others to come along with us. We chat about destinations, current events, our favorite experiences, and lots more. We love to hear your feedback and ideas for topics, so be sure to connect with us on our website, Facebook, or Twitter. My name is Sandy, and this week I'm joined by fellow Outlander travel agents, George, Laura, Donna, and Elizabeth. Love them or hate them, airports are an integral part of most people's travel plans. As travel agents, we probably spend more time, both planned and unplanned, in airports than the average traveler. Tonight we're going to discuss our favorite airports and why we like them. So let's get started. So, I don't know, let's kind of go around and ask everybody, what's your favorite, Elizabeth?
So I think my favorite is Atlanta, but that's the thing, is there isn't one airport that's super perfect, because Atlanta's huge, and I have had to run from A to E before, and that is not fun. So, but I think Atlanta's very friendly. I think they have a lot of amenities. They're comfortable. Their seats are as comfortable as airports can be. I find it to be a very efficient airport.
Yeah, they're not, it's not very confusing.
It's
very, very simple to get around.
And they call their train the plane train, which I just love. So I need to get on. So of course I'm pretty familiar with Atlanta too, because I live in the South, and you know, you pretty much always have to go to Atlanta to go anywhere. But I like it. I think it's laid out well. Now, if you ask me my favorite airport to just hang out in, I would say like the airport in Hilo, Hawaii, you know, because they're open air, and it's the old school airport where you like walk down the stairs off the plane. And so yeah, when it's coming to like an awesome airport that you can't beat that. But as far as like an airport that I get to use frequently and need to use, I think Atlanta.
So you think it's awesome because you're used to it?
I think some of it is because I'm used to it, but I feel like it's really efficient. Like, I've come in from international flights and the customs agents are singing to me.
I think this way, is good. This.
Yeah. So, I mean, they are really, really friendly and helpful, and which you do not find in every airport.
One thing I like about their customs is whenever you clear customs, then you have to go back out and then you come back in and go through security again. And if you have TSA PreCheck, like I do, you get in a TSA PreCheck line, which not all airports have, like a global entry. They might have global entry to like clear customs, but once you pick up your luggage and then go back to where you need to be, you might be in with everybody else.
Yep.
So I do like that about Atlanta.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that. Yeah. What about you, George? What do you think?
So I'm probably not as well traveled as the rest of you, and I usually fly Southwest, so I'm pretty limited on the airport. So of all the ones that I go through, for us, Baltimore's our favorite.
It's not a bad airport, yeah.
Yeah, because they have the Silver Diner.
Oh, is that a restaurant?
They're in the corner from the Chick, which is different for us because we don't have too many of them up here.
Is that the one where sometimes you have to take like a little kind of bus thing across the runway to the other terminal, or is that Dulles?
Yeah,
that's Dulles.
Okay.
Yeah. As far as I know, Baltimore's all located in just one big building. So I think there's a couple of terminals, but yeah, no buses or trams or people movers or anything like that. So Baltimore's just big enough to get the flight you need, but it's not so big that you need crazy amounts of time between flights. We usually do a 50-minute between our Southwest flights, and usually that works out just about right as long as you're not stuck in the back of the plane. And
that's not international, that's for a domestic connection, or
that is correct. Yeah, that's domestic. Yeah. Yeah, I don't think
I mean Southwest flies like to the Caribbean.
They do.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a direct flight from BWI to Jamaica, to Montego Bay.
Yep.
Yeah, Puerto Rico. That's where I connected Puerto Rico.
So do you connect there for international, George, or do you usually end up connecting?
Yes. So we usually fly from Hartford to Baltimore and then Baltimore to Punta Cana, or actually in November it'll be Cancun.
Yeah. You can sort of get anywhere from Baltimore, which is really strange because, you know, you've got other big airports right around there, but.
You've got like three.
Yeah.
But New York has three major airports. I mean. DC is big, you know.
Cool. Yeah, so we seem to have three real options from here. It's either Chicago, Midway, or Baltimore, or Fort Lauderdale. So those are kind of the three on the East Coast that Southwest keeps routing us through. Mm-hmm. So we choose Baltimore mainly because it actually has Dunkin' Donuts. Being from New England, after 7 days in the Caribbean, you really need that good cup of Joe.
That's hilarious. Do you actually... Is that actually part of your decision-making process, is the restaurants and the airport?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm going to have to pay more attention.
Yeah.
What about you, Laura? Do you have a favorite?
Well, I like Minneapolis-St. Paul just because there's a really nice kind of mall there that's, it doesn't ever feel like it's packed full of people. And there's greenery in the mall, but I also kind of like Charlotte because of there's that big open area, like food court area, and there's lots of big white rocking chairs. Hmm. And that they've done a nice job in that area that if you have some, you know, time to that you have to kill, that you can kind of be there and not feel like, oh, I've got to sit in an uncomfortable chair and plug in my phone and be young. You know, it's got a more laid back area to it in that area. So they also have a lot of movable sidewalks, which I really like.
Yeah. My problem with Charlotte is their bag claim is extremely slow.
My problem with Charlotte is it's so close to where we are. So it's such a short flight, you know, like I just want my flight to be a little bit longer than that. And yeah. Feel like if I'm connecting, I don't know. I want to break it up.
Well, a lot of times when I'm routing people, if they have to have a layover, I'm trying to route them down through a southern airport.
Yeah,
especially around this time of year. Same. And if I'm looking at Charlotte, a southern airport, Charlotte's a nice one.
Yep. And I don't have to go through it too often, but if it's an American flight, you do sometimes. And yeah. That, like when I flew to Turks and Caicos, I had to go through there. And that, you know, and actually when I flew to Barbados, I had to go through there as well. I think on the way down, I went through Miami, but on the way back up, I went through Charlotte. It's just, you just kind of have to sometimes, but you're right. That connection is really irritating for us. It's you basically go up in the air and back down again.
Yeah. Like, we're not even going to bring you.
Yeah. We're not even going to bother down the aisle.
And my, you know, because I'm in Pennsylvania, I still have clients in North Carolina and a lot of them are in the Greensboro High Point area. And when they're having me look for flights, they'd rather me fly them out of RDU if I can, because they don't like getting to the Charlotte airport. But oftentimes I can find a greatly reduced flight out of Charlotte. Mm-hmm. It's just, you know, so they kind of suck it up and make it work. But for folks I'm flying from here, you know, I have Philly, BWI, and IAD, and even Newark that are all within like a 2-hour driving range from here. Yeah. So I'll check all of those. And usually, like George said, BWI seems to work really well. But if I'm going to try and make a connection, Charlotte is a nice connecting point for them in terms of getting from, especially if you're going to get from international to domestic to international, you're not going to be going forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. So
it's funny you mentioned that the big airport, little airport thing, because I guess it's one of the things that clients seem to think that the bigger the airport, the cheaper the prices are going to be. And I don't know about down there, but up here, I find that flying out of Little Hartford is much cheaper than flying out of Big Boston.
It varies.
Well, you'd think more flights would be better pricing, but it doesn't seem to work that way.
Or that if it's a hub, it's cheaper. Like my parents, you know, live in Myrtle Beach, and we've priced Myrtle Beach and Florence and even Charlotte just to see, you know, and when you factor in the hassle of getting to anywhere else, sometimes it is just cheaper, you know, to fly out of Myrtle Beach now. So the pricing doesn't always make sense.
I have clients going to Europe from Myrtle Beach this October, and I checked Myrtle Beach, Wilmington, Charlotte, and Charleston, and Myrtle Beach was actually the cheapest.
Yeah. When I was growing up, I a couple times drove to Charleston or Charlotte and saved several hundred dollars, but yeah, it's not really the mm-hmm. case anymore. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Donna, what about you? Do you have a favorite?
Actually I do, and I'm going to be the odd man out, and I'm going to say Munich.
Oh
no, I agree with you. But you're right. A lot of people don't like it.
Well, the Munich airport is German efficiency. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you get off the plane, the lines are short. You go through immigration very, very quickly. I mean, they are like, okay, are you here in the country for stamp, here you go. They have schedules to keep. And so they are very efficient. There's good food there. The gift shops, you know, and I do shop in the gift shops. I like to be able to kind of wander around in between my flights, and I really want to see handicrafts, not necessarily the t-shirts and the touristy stuff. And Munich has all of that. You can get the real steins, you can get the chocolates and the cheese and the things like that, that you can't get at most US airports because it's all very, very commercialized.
Yeah.
So I love flying in and out of Munich, and it's usually one of the least expensive to fly in and out of for Europe. So I try to do that whenever possible. And I like Lufthansa, and that's their hub.
Yeah. I agree with you. And interestingly, on the direct opposite, before we started recording, I said, I'm going to be the one that turns this conversation into airports we hate. Mm-hmm. But the direct opposite of Munich is the Berlin airport. If you've ever flown into Tegel Airport, it is a hole. It's a terribly designed airport that was thrown up in the 50s, you know, and it's the capital city.
After it was devastated.
Yeah, I mean, it was literally, they built it in 3 days or something ridiculous like that. And every single, like, when you get off your plane in Berlin, you enter customs immediately. So the line for customs forms on the plane.
Oh, God.
Because you literally go, so it is the weirdest, it's efficient. I'm not going to say it's not efficient, but it is like the weirdest, most insane airport I've ever been through. And the people of Berlin are kind of embarrassed by it. And I say kind of, they're very embarrassed by it. So you have this Munich airport, and the Frankfurt airport, super busy, super efficient, you know, moves people in and out.
Yeah, I've flown through there too.
Berlin, man, that is not a fun experience. Sorry.
Your bags before you go through customs or after?
You get your bags after. So you pass customs and then you get your bags. And it's your plane has its own baggage carousel, which is actually very efficient as well. So you literally go through this line, get your passport stamped, go get your bag, and then go out the door. So you have one more checkpoint on the way.
Oh, okay.
So it's actually the same as what I guess technically you're going through passport control, then you're getting your bag and you're going through customs. But it's kind of passport control and customs kind of function the same there because it's very little space, you know. But yeah, and that gate's taken up until that whole plane is emptied through passport control. And yeah,
that's interesting that they haven't changed that.
They've been building another airport
70
for
years.
they've been building another airport for like 10 years. And if you ask them when it'll be ready, they're like, maybe in 10 years. It's like the most ridiculous building project. I don't even know the politics. I don't want to know.
Wow.
But it's been in the works for years and still not done. So anyway.
So I actually kind of have two favorites. one of them is Anchorage, because a lot of times when you're flying into Anchorage, you're getting in really late and stuff is open when you get in there. And I think that's really cool. And they do like,
oh yeah, that bugs me. I mean, you get in, have to be at the airport at 6 a.m. and Starbucks is not open yet.
Yeah, I know. Anchorage, when they're open at like midnight, the shops are still open. So that's pretty cool. And like Donna was saying, the little like local items, they have that stuff there. So it is cool. And it's good when you're leaving too, because a lot of times you're leaving late. You know, and that way you can get your last minute things. And another one that I just recently experienced for the first time was Houston. And I guess they've recently redone, it looks very modern and everything looks shiny and new, but I think every restaurant and bar that I saw had tables and stuff, and they had iPads on the table so you could order without talking to anybody.
Yeah.
Which
so Newark has that as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I loved that. I thought that was really efficient.
Yeah.
And nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a growing trend, I think. And actually Newark, so when I wanted to talk about two other airports, we have some time. One was Newark, because I think when you're flying in and out of the New York area, you have a few choices. And to me, you don't have any choices. You fly out of Newark because I think LaGuardia and JFK are just abysmal. So Newark actually, you know, years ago, been like, no, no, not Newark. But now it really is. It's actually, they're getting better and better. You can take a train into the city from there. It's really easy to fly in and out of. I really like it. And another one you were talking about, Laura was talking about Charlotte being laid back with the rocking chairs and things. Nashville actually is kind of like, they have live music because Nashville.
See, I got there at like 8 o'clock and I barely got my pretzel before everything closed.
I don't know that I've been there late at night. I've only flown through there a couple of times, and one time was accidental. That was before I was a travel agent. I booked a flight on Southwest, and you know, Southwest sometimes will disguise their connections, and I didn't notice that I had a connection. I realized it the day before I got on the plane, but I still didn't know where my connection was. So I literally didn't know where I was connecting until I got on the plane. And they're like, we're on our way to Nashville. I'm like, oh, that's where I texted Chris. I was like, guess where I'm going. So yeah, it was before I knew enough to figure out where I was going on my own. So I was like, I'll just find out when I get there. I know what time I'm supposed to get.
I know what the code says.
Yeah. I know what my final destination is, and that's, you know, it'll be fine. So, and with Southwest, it all works pretty easily.
Yeah.
I'm pretty excited. Not a single one of us said MCO.
I spent a lot of time in MCO there. But you know, so here's which is Orlando, if people are not going to Disney all the time. But I came back through an international flight in Orlando, and I took a wrong, like, when you know they do the like monorail thing to the gate. I took the wrong one, and I got off and I was like, where's my favorite restaurant? Where, you know, like, it's in the totally wrong side of it. And I just, you know, it's much bigger than I realized because I'm always just in that Southwest side of it. And, you know, I'm at the same gates all the time, but it was the wrong place.
I actually don't like Orlando.
Yeah.
Because I mean, every single time I've been there, the lines for security, the lines to go through to the ticket counter are out the door. Yeah. So they're very inefficient, or they don't have enough staff actually taking care of everybody, or they've got too much going on at the same time. Yeah. It's just horribly busy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think what I like about it is, it has a little mall in it, just like what Laura was talking about with Minneapolis. There's lots of shops. And then the airport, a hotel being like right there in the airport is actually very convenient as well. So I like the amenities of the airport. But I will say, even at the Southwest gate, there's only a few things. Like, you're not going to spend tons of time there. There's that, like,
but there's your hands.
Yes. And there is a spa where you can get like a little quick massage. Yeah. And there's like that store that sells sparkly things. And
it's like a brewery restaurant.
Yes. Yeah, although it's not that good, actually. So anyway, it's not great once you get to your gate, but nor are the lines good. You're absolutely right. They do have clear, and they have TSA pre-check, but even the TSA pre-check lines can get really long.
Yeah, one time one of my friends got through the regular line before I got through my pre-check line, and I was not happy about that. But it seems like the TSA experiments at MCO, you know. Yeah. So like that one
Let's
year
try this.
That they decided they were gonna not let people through with candy, and it was just happened to be like October, and everybody was coming from Disney from the Halloween parties, and they had all this candy in their carry-on, and they were making them unwrap individual pieces and stuff. I mean, what the heck was that? You know, but so MCO, yeah, I agree. It can be. I'm just so used to it. I do it so much that I do think that their customs is not bad. The customs in Houston, though, was a little weird, and it was a big process. And then they had this one part where you had to get in this line, and then you had to walk past these dogs. And it's really hard for me to walk past dogs without touching them. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, they don't like you doing that.
I know, right? They totally discourage you.
And that is not the airport's problem.
It was interesting, though. So you had, like, downstairs, you got your luggage, and then you had to get in this line that curved back and forth, and then you walk past the dogs. And you go upstairs and you're in another line. It was kind of a cumbersome customs process, actually.
So I'm curious about our local airports. And George, I've never flown out of Hartford. Is it a good airport?
Yeah, it's pretty good. They've been doing a lot of work over the years to it, adding gates. They've added Aer Lingus, so now we can have nonstop service to Dublin. which is pretty nice. Yeah, so it's just big enough. It has all the major carriers. Can't think there's any real negatives to it.
Is it just one terminal?
I believe there's two terminals. So the one I'm usually in is Southwest and JetBlue, and then I think the other terminal is American Delta, the other bigger.
Everything else, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I actually like Raleigh-Durham a lot, and obviously I use it a lot, so... But you know,
yeah, we've hopeful that it's got some good stuff.
We've had some problems with our security lines being really long in the morning, but other than that, it's actually a pretty efficient airport. Two terminals far apart from each other, but you don't need to be close to each other. The Southwest terminal is, you know, on one side, and then everything else is on the other.
So, yeah, it's not bad.
It's a nice airport.
Well, I thought they were moving Spirit over to the Southwest terminal. I'd heard.
And I think Frontier is still in the Delta terminal. And I feel like there's one other, maybe it's JetBlue that's over in the Southwest terminal as well. I'm not sure.
I don't think.
No, JetBlue's over in the Delta.
Last time I flew, it was just Southwest. So I don't know if they've pulled anything over. I haven't flown since April. So I don't know if they've started that.
And the Southwest side doesn't have the security problems, but they don't have the backup of one.
The Southwest side is interesting. They do this thing, and I don't remember if they do it on the other side, where you don't have to show your ticket. You just show your ID. Or maybe it's
Yes, they do. They did start doing that. Although I just flew, and I think some of the families flew in Southwest in September.
But you flew international. That might have been.
I just flew international. That was different. Yeah, but we flew Southwest in July. We went to Cancun.
But you know, I'm like the 3 hour early getting to the airport. I have learned if I'm on the first flight on Southwest, there's no point in me getting there before 4 a.m. because they're not opening the gates.
Yeah, they don't even open the gates or the desks until 5.
Yeah. Well, they open at 4, but yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's the way it is with the Harrisburg Airport. I found that the hard way. My flight was supposed to leave at 6:15 in the morning, and I got there at 4:15. They don't even open the doors until 5 o'clock.
Wow.
They don't even open the doors until 5 o'clock. And the other thing about the Harrisburg Airport, which I love, it's a sweet, tiny little airport. You never have to walk a long while in the Harrisburg Airport. But when it was built, there was a city ordinance, which is no flight can land here after midnight. And so if you're on a flight that's delayed and the pilot doesn't think you're going to get until 12:01, ain't happening. You're stuck where you are.
Wow.
Yeah. So I've come close a couple times. You know, where flights, where there was weather delay or something like that, but there's no flights land after midnight here.
And is it right in the middle of a resident? I mean, like, would it wake up the entire town or is it?
Well, it's called MDT, which is like Middletown Township or something like that. It doesn't look to me like it's right in the middle of everywhere, but it's also not in a big, it's right outside of Harrisburg, actually. So it's just one of the quirks that I have to think about when if I'm having people fly out of Harrisburg, I need to keep that in mind. To try and keep them, bring them in early. And to remind them not to go there 2 hours early if they have an early flight.
Yes, exactly.
So I went through O'Hare recently, and I hadn't been through O'Hare since I missed a flight in college. Mm-hmm. And first of all, I was like, oh, why do people hate O'Hare? This is really nice. And I was, you know, I had a good time between my flights. So I had to go from like the A terminal to the C terminal. And I was walking that way. And I'm like, oh, and then there's like children's art and there's a lot of cool stuff to look at. But I got all the way over to the other terminal and saw they had moved my gate back over to where I was. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know, so then I realized why people don't like O'Hare. And then, you know, so I went all the way back. My steps counter on my phone said I had walked like a mile in that airport that day. That was ridiculous. But it was really pretty. I mean,
I've run through there.
Forever. What?
I've run with strollers and car seats.
Yep.
Well, we were running to catch our flight in college, but then, and we were on this, I remember, I went through that same area where you had the escalators, and I remember my luggage, I bought so much stuff that I couldn't, my luggage and the zipper broke and everything flew out. And I was having to ask my friends to put my stuff in their carry-ons, and it was a mess. But so that was going through my mind when I was going back to the other side. I'm like, now I remember why people don't like this airport.
Well, let's see. I've run through O'Hare. I've run through Paris. I've run through Frankfurt, Barcelona.
Marcus and I just ran
Seattle.
That was not fun. Boston is not very well labeled. Mm. And, you know, they have shuttle buses, but you don't know if you're going to make, like, how long you're going to wait for the shuttle bus. So, yeah, that's not my favorite airport. But I really love little airports. I find them really fascinating. Granted, there's no anti-ans, and that is a bummer. But although sometimes that is the only thing they have is an anti-ans. Like I got rerouted when I was coming back from the tour that I did last year with Grand Canyon and Moab. So from Moab, I was supposed to fly out of I don't remember now, somewhere in Colorado, and my flight was booked for the wrong day. It was not my fault. So when I talked to American, she's like, I can put you at the flight the day you want is full, but I can put you on a flight out of Montrose, which is an hour further away from where you are. I was like, okay, I've never heard of it, but we'll do that. So we went to this other airport. Well, it's the airport for Telluride, and the whole airport is built for skiing. So whereas some airports have a few, oversized bag containers, this has like a whole wall of oversized bag containers, but it didn't open until 11:30. They don't open the airport until an hour before the first flight's going out.
Yeah.
And in this case, we were on the first flight. It was like at noon or 12:30 or whatever. Yeah. So we got there all the way from Moab and it wasn't open yet. We had to wait for them to open the doors.
That's funny. Cause when I went to Anchorage in March, I spent the night in Anchorage, and then the next morning I flew to Fairbanks. And when I checked into the hotel, I was like, I need to get up because my flight's at this time. And they're like, oh, you need to leave like, you know, an hour. And I'm like, no.
And you don't know me.
Yeah, like three people said that to me, the people on the shuttle. And, you know, like, I'm like, why? Like, how? I know you guys are laid back, but they're like, oh, well, they were flying Ravenair, which is a local carrier. And I guess it's got a totally separate, like security part and stuff like that. So not as stringent, but I will say one of the worst securities I ever went through was Fairbanks. They took I have TSA pre-check. They still made me take my computer out, my iPad. I had to take my iPad out of its case. And poor Lindsay, who didn't have pre-check, she had to unpack her whole bag. She had like stuff rolling down. She was kind of throwing everything in there at the end. But yeah, that one, I was surprised at how thorough that airport was with their security. It was a little bit, it was kind of interesting because it was small. Everything's small.
Yeah.
They're feeling really, really confident there.
I guess. I don't know. You're not getting anything past them. So.
No.
Are there any other international airports that are your guys' favorites?
I really hate Paris.
But this is about airports we love.
I will say one thing.
Well, the only reason I like CDG is because there is a like a Hilton or something right in the airport.
See, I think that's valuable. Yeah. What? I think that's valuable. That's what I was talking about.
So if I have clients who are in Paris who may have started in Paris and are going to other places, I can bring them back to that hotel. And then I don't have to do another transfer. Yeah. You know, they can just stay there. And when I had folks who did the Avalon River cruise last year, they loved that. Yep. They went down to Bordeaux and they came back and they stayed there and they loved that they could get up, walk out of their hotel and go into the security. Yep. They love that.
And that's what I like about Orlando. You can fly in the night before your cruise and then the next morning go downstairs, take your transfer out to Port Canaveral, which does not have the best hotels out there. And it's really super convenient. I do like Schiphol, and it's in Amsterdam, and it's usually one of the top rated airports. I do have friends who do not like it. It was the first place I encountered the security with the individual bin for like with the little bin thing where you pull the bin up below, you put the bin up on the thing. Boston has this too. We just encountered it. you put your stuff in the bin, you push the bin over, you get another one out, you know, you're in one station. You're not, it's not a line of people. It's, and it takes a little getting used to.
Houston was kind of like that.
Yeah. It takes some getting used to, but it is actually pretty efficient. And there's plenty to do there. It's a nice, clean, open airport. So I like it.
I like Montego Bay in Jamaica. Not the airport so much as the MoBay VIP lounge. Because mm-hmm. that is kind of nice whenever you are departing. Actually, I would recommend it just so you don't have to. The regular airport is okay. The southwest side is the older side, and there's not as much over there. And I think it's hotter, and it's just got weird lighting. One time I walked from MoBay, Club MoBay, over into that area when I was ready for my flight, and there was a siren going off, and nobody was stopping it. but the MoBay part is awesome. They give you food, you get drinks. Mm-hmm. There's a child, like a family section, so there's like play area for kids.
But that's a paying part of the airport.
So. You do have to pay for it, yeah.
Because the airport itself, I know the chairs are the molded plastic there, and you know, mm-hmm. for those of us who are not a normal size.
But in the newer part, where Club MoBay actually is, there's more stores and stuff. The southwest part is definitely the older part. Yeah.
Yeah, I seem to remember liking the Hong Kong airport, but I don't remember enough about it to comment on it with any educated words, you know?
Is it Singapore that has, like...
Yes, the big gardens.
Yeah.
Yes. Taipei's nice, too. The gates have themes.
That's cool.
So one theme, you've got, like, it looks like a record store. Another one was a Hello Kitty gate. Mm-hmm. Another one was, you know, all basically done in like 70s.
So that's super cool.
It was pretty cool. I mean, and it wasn't just like the decor on the walls, but the seats were actually themed as well. They were painted or colored the way the walls were.
Nice. Yeah, I definitely like it whenever like the waiting area has USBs near you know, like plugs, places to plug in. Your phone, things like that, make it like a little bit nicer.
I always appreciate a lot of space in the waiting area. That's always big for me because people do that thing where they put their bag next to them on either side and take 3 chairs, and you know, you can't find 4 chairs for your family together, and so
that's why you get there early.
That's why you get there early. You're absolutely right. That's also so you can sit by the charging station. So, and I think that's part of why the format at Newark, and I guess also you said at Houston with the iPads, because they're basically desks too. So you can plug stuff in, mm-hmm. and you have lots of places to sit. So every place that has an iPad on it has plugs and mm-hmm. USB ports, and you don't have to move. You just sit there. You don't have to walk away to go get something. You just order it on screen, and it comes to you shortly after. And it does. It's not tied at all to what. There are some of them that are actually in the gates, so you can sit in your gate and order food. So that can be really nice.
Yeah.
You guys have done podcasts on airline etiquette. You should do one on airport etiquette.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, I think we talked about that a little bit because I know my big thing is always the lining up to get on the plane. I know we talked about that.
I know someone who got kicked off a plane for getting a fight.
Or getting in a fight?
Not in like a fight,
you
but like
best friends.
It's a relative.
You're good people.
Of course it is.
Yeah. That's a story for another time.
Yeah.
You were asking about a friend.
Yeah. Yes. No, I think that, I mean, honestly, airports are not the most glamorous places on earth, but they're definitely, there are some nicer ones. And
yeah, they're doing things to make it nicer, definitely.
I remember when I was young, I know, which is like a long time ago, you didn't believe that there were airplanes. There was just there was just wagon trains or something. But my dad used to say he liked the airports because of the bookstores.
Yeah.
He would buy a book to read to all of us. And he'd say that was a really good bookstore or whatever. Yeah. We don't see, you know, there. That just because of the way technology goes, you don't see that as much anymore. But that used to be his qualification.
Yeah, sometimes there's, I think MCI has a bookstore, actually.
Yeah, and Raleigh does, too. Actually.
Yeah, but you're right. It's more like a little section in the Hudson News store, you know. Where you can.
And it's mostly romance novels. Not that there's anything wrong with romance novels.
Or like, but, yeah, like current literature.
Yeah, and business stuff, too. A lot, you know, how to win friends and influence people, that sort of thing. But yeah, wash your face. There's actually a lot of the bookstore in Raleigh-Durham is actually pretty good. We've browsed it several times. The kids will get stuff. Margus bought Alexander Hamilton there, which I was like, really? Because it's huge, you know, and he wanted to take it on the trip. I was like, all right, here you go. We're going to learn.
Well, and the other pet peeve, and I mean, this is basically universal for every airport, is when it's under construction. I mean, we understand that progress needs to be made and they need to update things and they need to install those USB ports and extra plugs and all that kind of stuff. But while it's going on, it's such a pain in the butt.
Yeah. Well, I just ran through Boston Logan and nearly missed my flight, which then ended up being delayed for 2 hours after I got on the plane. And we had to run from E to A and all the moving sidewalks were down. Mm. And I was like, really? You have to take down all the moving sidewalks on the same day? You know, can we not leave two of them? Mm-hmm. Can we fix one? And I don't, maybe they were all, you know, terribly broken and run, but it was very frustrating. It's like, honestly, this is the world's longest walk and I can't use any of the moving sidewalks. So I feel you. But in the end, you're right. It's improvement is the key. You know, we just got a couple of new restaurants at Raleigh-Durham and, you know, it makes a big difference. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, especially if you can get breakfast if you get there at 4 a.m. you didn't have a chance.
I will say they just took five guys out of Raleigh-Durham and that makes me sad. But.
Yep. Oh, no, they don't open until like 5:30.
Yeah, yeah.
You could be there at 4, but they're not there.
That is true, yeah.
Yeah, there's, you know, the Starbucks down
the other end. I've been there.
Yeah,
I've been there.
All right, well, that is our show for this week. Thank you for hanging out with us. We would love for you to share your life-changing travel moments with us on our Facebook page. You can find us on Facebook as Fly Away or from the podcast page on the OutlanderTravel.com site. Please be sure to subscribe to us and leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. On behalf of Laura, Donna, Elizabeth, George, and myself, Sandy, thanks for joining us this week. Gotta fly.